Celebrate season 10 of Robot Chicken. We're talking to the people who know it best. Now entering the Robot Chicken audio booth here at Stupid Buddy Studios in Burbank, California, Doug Goldstein and Mike Fasolo. I'll let them tell you what they do. Identify yourselves, please, so we can get that out of the way.
I am Douglas Goldstein, co-head writer of the show. I'm sitting to Mike Fasolo's left.
I am Mike Fasolo. I'm a writer on the show and probably the genius behind everything that is Robot Chicken.
Yeah. You guys are the first team.
Cards on the table.
The first team that we've had in here. So I guess, does that mean you're two halves of a whole?
Well, Mike and I go way back. Probably we've known each other more than anyone else on the staff has.
How long is that?
20-something years since.
20-something, the early 90s.
Wow.
We started at Wizard. I started in 94.
I started in 92.
Yeah, so ever since the days of Wizard, we've known each other.
And as soon as I saw Mike, I said, I want to be friends with that guy.
That's not true.
What was it about him? Was it his long hair?
He's a man of the people. He just had a nice smile.
Upstate New York demeanor?
I did have long hair at the time. Well, I had hair at the time.
You remember that first day where I just came up and talked to you like crazy?
Yeah, there was back in the days of Wizard, I used to work in the research department in a small little closet in their comics bookcase, I guess. And everyone would come up the stairs because the room was right at the top of the stairs, and they'd wave or say hello. Doug, every time he walked up the stairs, would just turn the corner so quickly, just completely ignore me.
And no, I was intimidated.
And
that little play that we put on for each other formed the basis to a beautiful friendship.
Oh, yeah. It's just because then I was like, why does Doug just walk up the stairs and he never even says hello?
That made him more interested in being my friend.
That is true.
We should say, just in case some people don't know, that Wizard Magazine was like the comic book magazine of the 90s. We had so many other magazines about toys and games and stuff. And then in the early 2000s, the internet arrived and ruined everything.
Shut down Wizard?
Well, once people were able to get news and information about comics online, they couldn't really wait a month for that information to show up in a magazine. So we got screwed. I don't know who invented the internet, but he fucked us.
It began the downfall of Wizard.
Yeah.
So, Doug, your demeanor seems to be a little bit quieter. Some have said abrupt, maybe.
I didn't come here to be psychoanalyzed.
Mike, very laughy, cheerful, outgoing.
It's great.
You balance each other out.
Yes, that's why they put us together.
Well, you're going somewhere with that?
No.
Just trying to break us down.
Trying to get an angle here.
I have issues, and Mike is happy. That's great.
So Wizard went away.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? You're both in New York City?
No.
With nothing to do?
This was genius because Wizard went away after Robot Chicken started. We left just at the right time.
Yes. Well, yeah, I left before. I left in 2001 and did a few other stupid jobs. I was a coupon proofreader for a supermarket chain.
A coupon proofreader?
Yeah.
Wow. What errors do you find?
You find price errors, date errors, sometimes the wrong picture with the wrong food. In my first week there, I must have saved them like $1 billion because they had so many mistakes in their coupons. And I worked there for about a year, and then I went – and I worked for a lumber company, which just happened to be down the road from where the old Wizard offices were. I was just answering phones there and selling lumber.
Wow, that's a big career pivot.
Yeah, it was a big career pivot from Wizard. And then it was just at that time that they sold Robot Chicken. And they were like, hey, come out to California and why don't you write with us? And I was like, okay.
Why'd they want you to write for them? What was it about that? What were you doing that made them think of you?
I was a proofreader and a copy editor at Wizard.
And a funny guy.
And a funny guy. And well-liked.
This was more than proofreading.
Yeah, it was more than proofreading. So, yeah, I did that for Wizard for 7 years, I think. And then they started Robot Chicken. And
so you came out first and then Doug, you followed?
No, in fact, all of us went at the same time in a massive four-car caravan driving from New York to Los Angeles, which was one of the best weeks of my life.
Really? You piled in a car and drove?
Well, there's four different cars.
Yeah, there's four
like
cars.
Like two or three people per car.
Oh.
And let me tell you, there's a lot of things in the country that if you put a gun to my head and said, do you want to go there? I would say no and try to fight the gun out of your hands. But driving past them, like the St. Louis Arch, it was nice. Like I would never, who the hell would want to go to the St. Louis Arch? But when you're driving past it, it's kind of cool.
We didn't just drive past it. We went up in it.
We went in it.
Yes.
Who else was with you? Two different cars.
Different cars. There was Matt Senreich.
Mel Kylo.
Another friend of ours from Wizard.
Jeff Johns of DC fame.
Yep. Pat McCallum. Wizard.
Of Pat McCallum fame.
Uh-huh. He's now of DC fame, too.
And that other guy, Peter Johnson or something is his name? He was there for a little bit. No?
Maybe in the first leg, the first couple.
Okay.
That sounds tremendously exciting. So you get this job offer, you all pile into a car and drive to L.A.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I do want to point out before we move on that Mike did fuck up that trip huge.
What?
Because because one of the last nights of the trip, we go to Santa Fe.
Okay, first
beautiful
of all,
town.
No, Santa Fe was awful.
Turn off his mic.
It was one of the most boring places the entire trip that we had to stop.
No, it was charming as hell. So charming you couldn't breathe.
The town shut down at like 7:30.
So Mike said, "I have not had my say of what we're going to do this whole trip. So I want to go see, wait for it, I want to go see The Day After Tomorrow by Roland Emmerich." I think. And we said, well, Mike's got a point. He hasn't.
I haven't complained at all on this entire trip, so I should get what I want.
So let's go spend our one night in this beautiful town seeing a movie.
First of all, the town wasn't that beautiful.
Was it a good movie?
It was a terrible movie. It was an absolutely horrible movie. And even I was sorry after we saw it that I made everybody go and watch it.
The best part of it, though, which I'll always remember, is there's a scene in the movie. I don't know if you remember this movie, but it was cold.
The movie was cold.
In the movie, it got really cold. That was the fear of it was getting cold. So it was so cold that Americans were just running across the Rio Grande to escape into Mexico. And on the news, the Mexican government closed the border to Americans.
Whoa.
Now, we're in Santa Fe, which is, you know, the Southwest. Aside from us New Yorkers, everyone in the theater was Hispanic. And at that moment, there was such cheering, such happiness, that you were infected by it. You were like, yeah!
Well, see, then I brought joy to the trip.
You did.
Yeah, so there
you go. Highlight of the trip, it sounds like.
Mike, thanks.
Yeah, anytime. Happy to
help. A grudge that you've held for 20 years.
Finally comes out on the air.
So what do you do for the show now so we can give everybody just tuning in an understanding?
Who would start a podcast in the middle?
I start in the middle.
Okay.
Already in progress.
We come up with the genius ideas that is Robot Chicken. Or our robot is Robot Chicken.
Robot Chicken.
Robot. Robot.
Yeah. So we are two of the about six people that sit in the writer's room at a time. And we are the regulars. Us and Tom never leave. Is there another person that ever leaves that I can't remember?
Tom
Root.
Yeah, we're the only ones that never leave.
Yes, and new writers come and go all the time. And we all try to make each other laugh during the day and write down the ones that work.
Doug makes himself laugh a lot during the day.
Whenever I'm at my computer and I laugh really hard, Mike turns to me and goes, "That's not going in." I'm like, "I know."
And it never does.
It never does.
He will crack himself up by writing a sketch, and you just know that it's going to be so funny to him and no one else is going to get it at all.
The pure happiness of Doug Goldstein is outside of normal interest, I think.
If it makes you laugh, then
it's
not going in.
Indeed.
You guys are the constants over 10 seasons of Robot Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Every episode. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, there are times where we've shined. There are times where we're sweating and wondering if we're going to get fired the next day.
Uh-huh. That's usually every day.
Mm-hmm. Come on, not anymore. Mm.
Well, no, certainly not now.
Yeah. Not now. Yeah.
Kind of. You never know, though. You never know what can happen.
A lot of Emmys under your belt.
Yeah.
Three.
We had two.
And then we got one more.
And then we got one more, which ruined the display.
I think it made the display.
No, I had one on each side of the TV. Now I have a third one. I am fucked.
See, I had one on each side of the mantle, and then I got the third one, and I made a nice little trifecta of them. So one is facing out, and the other two are facing that one. So it looks really awesome.
Well, we need one more.
Was the third one as exciting as the first one? Was it more exciting? Was it the same exciting?
I think the first one had to be the most exciting.
The first one was a holy shit, because who thought?
Who would have thought?
In a million years.
You look back at Wizard days and your drive across country, suddenly you're on the stage at the theater. That had to have been surreal.
I mean, let me tell you this. Early in season one, we got reviewed by Entertainment Weekly, and they gave us an A. And I was like, that's weird. That's not normal.
They were giving everybody A's at the time.
Were they?
Okay. Yeah.
They're pieces of shit.
Why was it weird to you?
This show is really just us fucking around. And we're not trying to be Shakespeare or anything. We're just fucking around, having a good time.
Yeah, just a bunch of goofballs writing down stupid ideas.
And the fact that that has become a critic's darling, winning Emmys and Peabodys and all that kind of Hugo Award left and right.
Oh, I'd like to win a Hugo.
Peabodys, too.
Yeah. We got a Cable Ace Award, I think.
Oh, shit.
It's just weird. And I remember being on the stage the first time we won an Emmy just saying over and over again, holy shit. And that's why in the telecast you don't see me.
Because you're mouthing the words,
I'm mouthing holy shit just over and over again. But the third time, that was getting annoying.
What?
Because you agree with this. The Emmys are not fun to go to.
No, the Emmy ceremony itself is not fun.
No, you're sitting there. You're bored. A lot of the awards are boring. They don't let you really walk around and do anything because they shut down the food stand. It's a nightmare.
But you stare at the celebrities. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
There usually aren't too many celebrities at our Emmys. We're not at the real Emmys. We're at the technical Emmys, which is after. Is it before or after? I think it's after.
It's before, but it airs after?
Yeah. So we don't really see too many stars at ours.
Oh, you see a lot of...
I mean, unless you consider us stars.
Hmm. Like all the awards that they don't think people want to see on TV.
Which is kind of rude in a way.
It is. So it's things like...
It's all behind the scenes.
But it's also big things like best actor in a comedy, something like that.
Yeah, they have those. But, you know, it's, you know, hair and makeup and costumes and lighting
new,
and things like that.
Best new high-definition wire that is used on a Tuesday.
Yeah. That's
but you look back at yourselves coming out of New York, coming out of Wizard, and here you are on stage in Los Angeles. Very exciting because of the, just a crazy goofball, what did you say?
Yeah, goofball shit. Stupid ideas.
Well, this is just wonderful. On the one hand, seriously, this is the time of our lives. This is great. We're very lucky. On the other hand, thank God this showed up because back at Wizard, my side job at Wizard when I wasn't at work was masturbating.
Yeah.
And when Wizard went away, unless I could have gotten paid for masturbating.
Yes, the masturbation did not go away.
I'd be homeless by now. So thank goodness this came along.
Yes, that's very true. I sometimes wonder what comes for me after Robot Chicken because I don't really have any other skill sets at all except sitting in a room coming up with stupid ideas.
Do you guys work on other shows? I mean, I know you have over the years. Do you have a side hustle now?
At the moment, no. I mean, we've done a few other freelance episodes here and there for some shows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a few signatures away from having a show on the Sci-Fi Network.
Wow.
And I shouldn't say any more in case the signatures fall away. I don't want to be too humiliated.
Yeah.
But years from now, when that has won 7 Emmys, go back and listen to this podcast and be like, that's when he said the thing. So
we'll have you by yourself.
Yeah. Yes. Then you'll be allowed to be by yourself,
finally.
Doug.
Finally.
So... You guys are funny. I guess were you funny at Wizard? Was it?
Well,
you were funny to each other. Like, when did you know that you were funny? Funny how?
Funny how?
Let's do that whole routine.
Funny, yeah.
You got paid for it at Robot Chicken for being funny.
Well, Wizard was known for being a wise ass magazine. We put word balloons on all the images of characters saying silly things like "I like pie" and stuff. Where
that is very funny.
Yes,
we should do that in a sketch today.
Has someone else told you the whole story about how? The show got started, or should we bore you with that?
Let's hear it.
So a few of us would change jobs once in a while. Like Toy Fair magazine about action figures switched editors a few times. I ran it for a little bit. This guy Tom Palmer Jr. ran it for a little bit, good guy. And Matt Semich ran it for a little bit. And while Matt was in charge, he heard on the talk show or something that Seth Green was into action figures. And he was like, whoa, I'm going to call his agent and get an interview for our action figure magazine. And his agent was like, oh, I don't know if I just don't know if this is something he wants to do. So little do we know that Seth actually had already read our magazine and loved it. So he called Matt and said, I've already read your magazine and loved it. And they became fast friends to the point where Seth would fly out and join our house parties and just hang out with all of us. And it was a lot of fun.
He did come out for the party.
That's right.
Did you guys live together?
We were roommates. At different times, we were all roommates.
Oh. Matt and Doug were.
Were we roommates ever?
No.
That's strange because we're so close.
Yeah.
And I think Seth had always wanted to do something called Sweet J Presents, which is like a little stop motion comedy thing. And Matt took credit for everything that was funny at Wizard. So the two of them together were like, let's chop something around. And so they did, and lo and behold, you know, very long story short, Adult Swim was like, all right. And then we all came out and did the show.
Did Matt call you and tell you guys, hey, good news, Adult Swim picked it up, let's move, and you looked at each other, or what was that moment? Do you remember the...
Nope.
I think we used to go over to Matt's and Doug's house to watch, was it Buffy?
It was everything.
We used to watch a bunch of stuff over their house like once a week or twice a week.
Where is this?
This is in...
Nyack, New York, which is in Rockland County, the first chunk of New York State west of the Hudson when you go north from the city.
But we used to go over to Matt's house, and I think we were over there at one point. I don't know if you were there, because that's when Matt told me. He said, hey, we sold the show to Adult Swim. Mm. And that was like the first big push that they had for it.
I think with me, I was roommates with Matt at the time, so the whole conversation just eked out through over many, many, many days and weeks, and I was like, oh, okay, fine.
Because you don't really know what that means, probably.
Yeah, because like nothing was signed yet or anything. Uh-huh. There's no signatures or papers or anything. It was just like, hey, they want the show. Let's try to get it moving.
Are they kidding? Are they just teasing us?
You never know until you sign on the dotted line.
Yeah.
But suddenly you're in a car driving across the country, and you get here. You all live together?
Not at that time.
Matt, Tom, and Doug lived together. I lived with another guy from Wizard who was coming out to California. But we were just down the street. I was down on Magnolia and Coldwater.
Yeah, Studio City.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible piece of
Los Angeles. Oh, I love that place. No, it was great.
It's terrible.
So here you are. How many years? 20? Not 20.
We've been out here 15
years. 2004 we came out here.
15 years.
Wow.
15 years. Fuck.
I don't know what happened.
Can I curse on this thing?
Yeah, fuck yeah. Fuck. Any swear.
Shit.
Think of all the swears.
Poop. Yeah. Poop.
So you're comedy writers. What do people misunderstand about writing comedy? People think it's one thing and it's not.
Well, people think that we're just fucking around all day and talking about poop.
Do people resent you when you say that it's hard work?
I never say it's hard work. This is awesome.
It's awesome.
Now people will resent you.
Yeah.
Well, you know what kind of sucks is that the people we talk to are also here in L.A. related to the business. All of our friends are in this shitty industry.
Why is it a shitty industry?
Yeah, Doug.
Well, I thought you loved it.
You got three Emmys out of it.
Yeah. Well, shitty business.
I mean, if Adult Swim says, you know what, that's enough. No more Robot Chicken. We've got enough. We're in trouble. I'm probably going to be eating a lot of dog food. Whereas if you had a quote-unquote normal job, a 9-to-5 with health insurance and everything, you have a little bit of security. If you're a good worker, you're going to stay working, in theory.
They can still fire you.
They can still fire you, but there's probably a reason.
They didn't order the show for 10 seasons. They ordered it for one season.
Right.
Luckily, they just keep upping it.
Yeah.
So now this is what we've chosen. This is what we want to do. I'm not complaining, but I'm really complaining. So this is not a good career to have. If you're insecure about the future, if you don't like being judged and living at the end of a rope, this is not a good career. I have two kids. I would love to have more job security if anyone's listening. but it's fine. That's the only downside is that your future is not guaranteed in any way.
Do you feel like because it's fun, it makes it? It undermines your confidence in it. How could this be a secure, real job if I'm having fun doing it?
No, I always expected to get paid for something.
Especially when you're having fun.
Yeah. It just seems weird to win awards.
Yeah.
No? Do you disagree?
No, I disagree. I like winning the awards. Okay. And it doesn't really feel weird. It's like, hey, we worked hard at this.
Okay. You tell your friends to watch you on TV?
Yeah. I mean, you'll point out, hey, the show's on. When I first came out here and I did the show and I told my parents about it, they, you know, got all excited and they're like, oh, we're going to stay up and watch it. They stayed up till, I think it was on at midnight at the time on Sunday night. So they stayed up, they watched it. My father watched, I think, a minute of it. And he said, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. He turned it off and he went to bed. And I don't honestly know if they've ever seen another episode after that.
That was that.
That was it. They're happy that I'm working and that I get a paycheck, but they refuse to watch the show.
Hmm. My parents enjoyed the Star Wars specials the most because, in their words, we understand this.
They didn't get the other references?
No, the other references, the senses of humor. Two old Jews from the Northeast, they're not on board.
They're not our target audience.
You'd be surprised at how everyone, if you mentioned that you work on Robot Chicken, it was like, oh, my God, I love that show. Or they're like, oh, my God, my kids love that show, which I always follow with how old are your kids?
Yeah.
They're 9, and I'm horrified.
Yes.
Because we're writing jokes about some guy flicking his cum on Jodie Foster's face. And now I have to picture 9-year-olds watching this. I'm like, fuck.
What are you doing to their mind?
It's not really – they could turn it off.
They can, but they're kids. They're
they
not going
to
turn
parents.
It off.
Parents should be parents.
You are putting that thought in their head.
I would never let
you
my
guys
kids
were
watch
9 once.
Show.
You watched Porky's and whatever else.
Yeah, we're not talking about us.
That's true. Trying to get those cable buttons, two buttons to stay on at the same time.
So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, those are good times.
Tom Shepard was talking about – I asked him if you guys have a vault of stuff that never made it, and do you ever dip back into it?
What? Well, there's two answers to that. We obviously keep everything we've pitched on our hard drives. You don't ever throw any files away. That's irresponsible. Every once in a while, when we think we're having a low day, we'll go back in stuff that was rejected a long time ago and wink, wink, sneak it in again. And you'd be shocked at how often that works.
Yes, how it got handily rejected the first time. No one even liked it at all. And I then think, you repitch it, and suddenly the room is joyous over it.
Back in season 3, I had this little bit with Scooby-Doo that I thought was so clever, where the whole gang is in the Scooby van, whatever it's called, the mystery machine. And they're like, that was a great adventure, gang. What should we do next? And Daphne takes out a map and says, well, there's the out-of-business amusement park, the shuttered hotel, the decrepit old mansion, another decrepit amusement park, and an out-of-business, you know, wharf that we can go to. And there's silence, and someone goes, oh, man, the economy's not getting any better, is it? And when I first pitched that, everyone was like,
That's exactly how I felt when you pitched it.
Exactly.
Just now.
But then 3 seasons ago, it's in. I pitched it again because I'm like, I like this. And everyone's like, this is great. So
that got in?
It got – don't –
Is it because did the zeitgeist of the world change and
exactly.
the economy dipped?
Exactly.
Is that really what happened?
That must be it. So sometimes that works. And sometimes Matt gets annoyed when he figures out.
He recognizes it.
Yeah. Sometimes you can try to slip it in without saying it's a resubmit, but usually you say it's a resubmit.
Yeah.
And it'll slide through.
We're supposed to do so much a day. I mean, we've got to get the show going. We can't just sit there and say, I've got nothing today. It doesn't work that way.
What's the quota? Is there a number?
You should pitch like at least 4 sketch ideas.
It varies, but generally, yes, around 4.
Has that evolved over time? And now should have 4? If you have 3, you get in trouble? What happens?
No, just if we as a room have a hard day and the packet at the end of the day that has compiled everyone's ideas is a little light, Matt gets all pissy.
He comes in and yells at us.
So but it's usually not a problem. There are sometimes individual writers have bad days, but it's usually not a problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, generally the first day of the writing cycle when, you know, hey, season 11 starts or season 10 starts is usually a pretty slow day because it takes a while to get into the swing of things.
You don't bang stuff when you're down.
We will approve the script phase for a lot of ideas. And then we cut some and we save those scripts. And then we'll send everything else to Animatic, which is the storyboards animated with voice records. And we cut some of those. And then what's left becomes the episode. Matt always feels that we've cut these things for a reason. They were not the best of that time, so they should be cut and stay cut forever. The writers don't always agree with that because we're like, if this section here was the best episode we've ever had, and this is just the worst of the best, and we have a season next season that is garbage, let's put the worst of the best in with the garbage and elevate it. And he doesn't even listen. Matt is just like, I'm not.
So, yes, we do have a vault of
you have a vault.
Yes. Of unused sketches and animatics and things like that.
Some of them used to end up on the DVDs as extras.
Yeah, that was good.
We don't do DVDs anymore.
Because apparently DVDs don't sell.
But you guys are off for not writing for, what, 6 months out of the year?
Yeah.
Are you always thinking of things and then you write them down and you save them so that first day back you're like, I have a million ideas?
See, that's my plan.
Or do you parse them out over the...
My plan at the end of every year is to write one sketch and one channel flip per day. So when we're done for, you know, 6 months or a year, I can come back and literally do nothing because it's already written. And yet that entire time off will go by and I will not write one thing for the show. And then I come back and I curse myself for not having done it.
I, on the other hand, have a file on the desktop of my computer that says random thoughts. And if I think of something funny, I'll just type it into that. And so when the season starts, I'll have good material to pitch for like the first day or two. Day three's a nightmare.
Then it's all downhill.
But then sometimes I'll look at my notes and the note will be like, cold picnic. And I'm like, what the fuck was cold picnic? And it's gone. That idea's gone for all time.
You didn't write anything else.
No, just
cold picnic.
So, do people submit outsiders just faxian jokes like the late night host used to do? Does that happen?
No. I don't think we even have a fax machine, so no. But when people do actually try to suggest ideas, we tell them to stop and don't. Because in Hollywood, that's the thing where someone pitches you an idea and you're like, oh, that's great. And you actually have that idea in the works. There's a lawsuit coming.
Yeah.
So we just tell people, don't tell us ideas.
What's the number one pitch that you get? I've asked a couple people this, and
I always
to be a consensus.
I just know that almost every other pitch starts with, why don't you do something about, and then put his favorite thing. Why don't you do something with Sesame Street? And it's like, well, if we think about
Sesame
it, why don't you do something with Doctor Who? It's like, I don't know. Please stop. Now, let me just say that we fucking love the fans for loving us. I mean, I'm a cynical, let's make fun of everybody guy. But when we're at conventions and stuff and people say they love the show and why don't you do something about this, the other thing, it's really cool and humbling. What do you think, Mike?
I think it's great. I love the fans.
Yeah, fans are good.
Yeah, but they can't pitch us ideas.
No, they really shouldn't pitch.
No, bad idea. Bad idea to pitch ideas.
When we're at Comic-Con and guys line up to ask us questions, they'll just fucking pitch us. There was one guy who was like, did you ever do anything with like Trump's wall, but it's the wall in the north of Westeros? And so like the zombies are like the Mexicans trying to get in. And we're like, do you want a job? Like, what are you doing? And that is a funny idea, which we can now never use.
Why not?
Because
he pitched it.
He pitched it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
he owns it now.
He should make a movie.
That's frustrating.
Yeah.
But now it's on the air, so maybe he can sue that you pitched his idea to the world.
Well, how much money does this podcast make?
Quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
It's got you and me on it, Doug, so it's going to be
true.
Pulling in a lot
right.
of money now.
That's true.
So there's no topics that are banned or frowned upon?
Nothing really. We had a few times that we put a moratorium on some ideas. Like for a while, the Smurfs, we couldn't pitch anything on Smurfs because we'd basically overused everything that was Smurf. He-Man, there was a moratorium on that for a while.
No. I do know that nowadays we've done so much Star Wars, 3 specials and God knows how many sketches in the show, that nowadays it's not really a ban. But you'd better have a great idea to dare pitch another Star Wars sketch. Like, don't be some piddly ass like, oh, C-3PO stubs his toe. Like, no, we've got to
pitch now, and that sounds great.
We've got to have something worthy of like going back to that well.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge. That's a challenge.
You guys like Star Wars? Did you like it before? Do you like it less now?
I love what Star Wars was. It is kind of dead to me now.
That's cold.
Well, it is. I mean,
dead to you.
That excitement isn't there. Like, The Last Jedi was like,
yeah.
And now the Rise of Skywalker's coming out, and I'm just not that – I'll see it,
yeah,
but I'm
true.
Not excited.
I mean, I liked The Force Awakens, which everyone else hated.
It was garbage.
Which I thought was great. But I did hate
The Last Jedi.
No, the Rogue
Solo.
One. Rogue One was
– Oh, I liked Rogue One.
See, I was on the opposite ends of that with most people.
Yeah.
Everybody loved Rogue One and hated Force Awakens.
What's funny to you guys these days? What do you like?
I started watching Fleabag. That's funny.
That's mildly amusing. Mm. I've watched a few of the episodes, and I'm like, if I never see it again, meh.
What's funny to you?
Well, Rick and Morty.
Obviously. Oh,
Rick and Morty,
well, of course.
Bob's Burgers, hilarious.
We got over there.
Well, I've watched like four or five seasons of it. And I'm like, okay, thanks. I'm moving on. It's good. It's
you're,
great.
You're done now. Just, that's
I have two. There's too many shows to watch.
There
to
are
keep
far too many.
Far too many.
You guys seem to have predated the short attention span of the world with your show.
It's definitely gotten worse.
That was the idea behind it, wasn't
one
it?
Of the early ideas for the name of the show was like short attention span theater, which we couldn't use.
Because it was a show.
Yeah. But like we kind of came out when YouTube started up, so people started putting clips of our show on YouTube before the networks kind of were like, we don't do that anymore. And so we kind of hit at the right time. But I'll say that in the old days, what you would refer to as short attention span seems like a novel now. I mean, now it's people, you lose people's interest in like 3 seconds. And I don't know if it's good or it's probably a bad thing.
Short attention span is a bad thing.
It's gotten too short.
What's one of your longer clips like? How long do you get?
I think the longest one was in season probably two, the Joey Fatone one, which was, I think, 4 or 5 minutes.
Well, this is a good example. The early episodes had much longer sketches than we do now.
Now I think our longest is like maybe 2.5.
But the shows that you watch now, they're long. I mean, there aren't other shows really like this, I don't think, maybe, on TV. The things that you find funny.
The 15-minute format has really grown. There are a lot of shows that are now quarter hour, or at least more than one quarter hour at a time to make up half an hour. You know what I mean? And you can tell that definitely by the competition we have in our Emmys category. The first time we won an Emmy for like short form animation, we were up against like, I don't know, nothing. I've never heard of them. And now it's like Disney, 3 shows in Nickelodeon, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, we're never going to win. Look at these heavy hitters. And then we win. And I'm like, I don't get it. But I think thanks to the internet and streaming and stuff like that, people have realized that this is a great length for content. This is a good – people don't lose interest after 10 minutes.
Yeah, because you're in and you're out. You don't have to really pay attention.
But you talk about Rick and Morty and you talk about Bob's Burgers. I mean those are long narrative shows that I guess have appealed to you also.
Yeah, I mean maybe it's just what I grew up on. Like I'm used to that, you know, full 22-minute kind of show. I mean I'll occasionally tune in to Robot Chicken.
You don't watch it.
I will.
You've seen it a million times before it airs?
Yeah. I mean, after writing the episodes and going through everything, that is scripting and all that, by the time it comes out, you're like, I want to see what it looks like. But you're like, it's okay. You know, you get in, you get out. You record it on the DVR. And, you know, when there's nothing else to watch, you'll pop one on.
Yeah. Can I say something to the industry for a second?
Please.
Okay. When I was a kid, adult television was things like Cheers. And we as kids would play while my parents were watching Cheers. Nowadays, if I and my wife Rebecca want to watch a TV show, we have to make sure the kids are in a different house. Because
how old are your kids?
They're 5 and almost 9. So every show that is for adults nowadays is gratuitous nudity, violence like crazy, curses, but I love it. I'm not saying don't do that, but can I have one or two shows that are good that we can watch without telling the kids that they have to get the hell out of here?
Well, those are all the CBS and NBC shows on, you know, primetime.
I said good.
But I don't know. Did your parents think that like Cheers and all that was good, or were they just watching it because it was the only thing on?
You want me to call my parents?
Yeah, sure. Herb and Laurie, give them a call.
It's not going to happen. What? Why are you coming?
Why are you talking to us now?
Hi, Doug. How are you?
So there's so much more on that you have to be a little bit louder to stand out?
I mean, that's definitely true because I literally have a list of maybe 2 to 3 dozen shows that I've been told I have to watch that I haven't gotten around to.
Yeah.
So
there's too much.
You can catch my attention by saying, hey, it's a Dark Crystal show. I'm like, what? And I'll check that out.
Do you let your kids watch Robot Chicken?
No. No.
But I'm sure they've seen it. You know, they're on the internet. Calvin, especially.
Calvin's not on the, they are not on the internet.
He hasn't. He goes on YouTube, doesn't he?
That's not the, like, he doesn't have a web browser. I let him use certain apps and that's it.
Okay.
You know, some kids just reject what their parents do outright.
Mm-hmm. True.
Or he does have friends who I'm sure have parents who don't police their kids.
Well, I would have to work really hard to find appropriate sketches.
I don't know if there's too many appropriate sketches for kids.
Yeah. Well, what did you guys watch when you were kids?
Oh, the whole litany of cartoons. He-Man, G.I. Joe, Transformers.
Night Court? I used to watch Night Court.
Night Court was great. Fun. The Incredible Hulk.
Automan.
Fantastic. Yeah, Automan.
Manimal.
Peach Hazard. Manimal. Love Manimal. Manimal was fantastic.
Yeah. Private Benjamin.
Benjamin.
When you got home from school, there were a slew of sitcoms that are just
Gilligan's Island.
You watched Gilligan's Island.
Brady Bunch.
Brady Bunch. We didn't know at the time we should watch Brady Bunch.
Why?
It's terrible.
Brady Bunch is terrible?
Why is it terrible?
Did you ever watch it nowadays? It is so milquetoast.
Well, I mean, that's what it was at the time, though.
The time, the rest of society was so dull that it seemed awesome by comparison.
Saying the Brady Bunch doesn't have an edge?
It does not have an edge. I'm sorry.
Huh.
That's why the movies have
to
be a
parody. They have those behind-the-scene edges for the Brady Bunch, the things that happened that weren't supposed to happen.
Behind-the-scenes always happen.
I hear stories of your big Vegas excursions.
Oh, God.
Ooh.
What can you tell me about that?
Oh.
Well,
I've never been.
As a teen,
you've never been to Vegas?
I've never been on the Robot Chicken Vegas trips.
Well, to kick off every season to create a sense of camaraderie amongst the crew, we all go to Vegas. It is a lot of fun.
As a side note, no one wants to go to Vegas.
Well, it's just because we've done it so often. It's like, let's do something new. But we all still go to Vegas. It's a thing. We usually see at least one show together, which is awesome.
Shows are always great.
We all lose a lot of money together, which is not awesome. We have giant dinners that sometimes Seth and the studio pay for, sometimes they don't. So
how does that work?
I would love to know.
How does that get decided?
Yeah,
Before you order or after?
It's usually kind of a toss up, at least for us. Like, we never know what's going to happen. Sometimes you go thinking, this is going to be a super expensive dinner. I hope they pay. And then they don't. And other times you're like, you bring a lot of money expecting to pay. And they're like, no, we're taking care of this one.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a gamble.
It's gamble, you're in Vegas, so why not?
Yeah, why not? But it's great. I mean, there's 30 of us sometimes, 20, 30.
Last year we went ziplining over downtown, which was
awesome.
Fantastic.
The downtown, the big thing with the lights over it now, the big outdoor experience, what is that?
Downtown.
Fremont Street
Old
or something?
Old Town.
Old Town.
Something like some town thing.
There's now a zipline that goes all like 5 blocks.
Yeah.
Onto those lights, and it's awesome. It's so much fun.
It's like a 2-minute ride.
Yeah.
Just zipping over everything. Oh, it's awesome.
Fantastic. You guys pile in a car and drive there together?
We used to in the old days, but then we're like, this sucks.
We did last year. You drove.
I drove last year? Because I bought the minivan, and that was awesome.
Yeah. Usually it was we drove the first couple of years, and then it was flying because that was much easier. But now Doug drives in his minivan, which was great.
Because then you can pile like 8 people in there. It's a good time.
And we got donuts.
And we got donuts on the way.
It seems unusual that you guys would all still seem to be such good friends after so long working together.
Yeah, every day you'd think that we'd all hate each other.
There are people that have dropped by the wayside that didn't stick with it. But, you know, the show doesn't really breed a lot of animosity amongst the crew because we're all really laughing and having a good time. And sometimes when an argument arises, you're driving home and you realize that argument was about such dumb shit that how dare you hold a grudge? Like, we can't use this G.I. Joe action figure. That's ridiculous. We have to use this Snake Eyes because it's blah, blah, blah. And it's heated because this stuff is stuff you love and you know you're right. But you're driving home and you're like, fuck, I could be laying tar on roofs for a living. Like, this is we should all be so lucky that that's what we argue about at work. So it's usually a good time.
Yeah. You do get a little annoyed at the end of every day because that's when the voting happens.
Yeah.
So you work all day on your sketches and then it comes down to the voting and none of them could get in. And it could just easily be a very brush off. No, that's not funny.
The voting system has evolved itself over the years, right? Explain how that works, if you would.
Yes. In the old days, it was me, Tom, Matt, and Seth that would vote on the sketches that would go in. If it got 3 or more votes, it's in. If it got 2 or less, it's not. And over the years, the quality of the ideas fell. And if we stuck to that system, nothing would be in. So we opened up to food for everybody.
Because, I mean, once you get, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 people in the room all writing sketches and it's all left to just 4 votes, essentially 3 of those 4 votes you have to get in the show. It just – it became unfair.
Okay. Well, let me give you a more serious answer to that thing about the ideas. I'm just fucking around. It's a shitty environment to be in if you're one of those people sitting there in front of you while the people that are in charge of getting the ideas in are tearing it apart in front of you and then you move on. That sucks. Like, this is a fun place to work, but that was something that really made people unhappy. And I don't know what is the what tipped the scales in Matt's mind that we should start doing more people voting. But now I think it's if you've been on the show before and you're back, you now have a vote, which is almost everybody now.
Yeah, I think it's generally everybody right now. Everybody gets a vote.
Yeah.
You have season 10 coming up at the end of the month, and you have a big Robot Chicken extravaganza in Los Angeles.
Yes, we do. At the end of the month-ish.
What's up with that? What do you know about it?
I was told to be there, and that's all I know.
Yeah, I got an email saying this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Can you show up? And I was like, sure.
I think the last I spoke to Matt about it was weeks ago, and he's like, I'm not sure what this is. And I'm like, all right.
I know there's a panel.
Is there a panel?
There's a panel. I don't know what the panel is going to be on. I'm assuming Robot Chicken season 10, which would just stand to reason.
Do you remember what's coming up in season 10, or have you blocked it out and moved on?
I honestly need to think about that a little bit.
We got the big season ender, the 200th episode.
Oh, God, what a nightmare.
That one.
Why is that a nightmare?
That one took all season to figure out.
200th episode?
That was the pressure. It was the 200th episode, and I won't spoil what the concept is that we cap it with, but there was a lot of pressure to do something interesting and original because it can't just be like another episode. So I think it was I that suggested the idea. And everyone agreed that that would be a good idea. And now I didn't know at the time that everyone had a slightly different idea of what that would be when they agreed. So as we start working on it, we had to rewrite it like 2 or 3 times, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because people are like, this is not what we agreed to. I'm like, yes, it is. No, it's not. And
everyone sounds just like that too.
So basically at the end of what little time we had left in the writer's room, everyone found a way to get in the writer's room together. It was very hot in that room because there's too many bodies. And we kind of mostly wrote it together on the fly. And
that's right. That was right down to the wire. We were there for the whole last day.
Yeah.
And that was we did get ice cream.
I'll never suggest an idea again because that was a nightmare. But I think it came out pretty cool. And it's something we've never done before. And I hope people like it. And I hope it isn't spoiled in like the press of what it is. Probably will be.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be.
Yeah.
Do you remember the 100th episode?
Is that the big fight?
That was the big fight in the castle with the chicken. Yeah. The chicken finally got out of the chair, I believe. I could be wrong. But I think the chicken finally got out of the chair because the mad scientist had kidnapped his wife, which is weird because the chicken technically is a chicken with a girl anyway. But anyway, then he had to fight his way up through the castle through all some of the people that we'd had through the season. And then he fought Lazo and Keith Crawford. And then something good happened.
I don't know.
Or maybe it was the dark meat one with all the presidents and the scientist's son.
No, I think. No, because, yes, the chicken escaped with Cluckarella at the end of that battle. And then the mountainside was a big 100 in that wide shot.
Oh, at the end of it?
Okay. I think.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, when we come to these episodes, us as fans of TV wouldn't give a shit if we're like, oh, this is the 100th episode of whatever, you know, X-Files. I don't know. Oh, my God, I'm dating myself.
Yeah, you are.
So it's kind of like I fear that when we have these anniversary sketches that we're just doing it for ourselves, and that worries me. And you can't not do something. It's a 100th episode. I got to do something. So it's when you say, like, do you remember this? I don't think for us it's that monumental.
Will there be a 300th episode?
Let's hope.
Let's hope. That'd be awesome.
Right.
What have you heard?
Be nice to get renewed for another 100, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Yeah. What would you do? What extravagance would you indulge in?
I would have at least 5 sketches about Depends undergarments once a day.
I don't even know. I'd seriously consider getting something fresh and new on the air.
Star Wars Episode 14 would
be kind of neat.
That's a big to do.
Yeah,
you know, it is funny that when you as you age, you see things differently. Like I've seen Star Trek II maybe 7,000 times, The Wrath of Khan, and as I've grown older, the way the characters react to each other and the fact that Kirk has a son and everything changes in my mind. And there's going to be comments that we'll have about these pop culture things that I think will change. I don't think we'll ever run out of ideas.
They might not be good ideas.
I'd say they might not be good ideas. But ideas nonetheless. I really think we can keep going forever because there's never going to be a day where it's like, fuck,
there's more TV
left.
Ever. Yeah.
It's all down to the generosity of the good people at Adult Swim.
Yeah. And the fans.
I think you guys were the big brick in the wall for Adult Swim, the foundation, right, for a big TV network to be built upon.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
Cornerstone, if you will.
Cornerstone. That was the word I was looking for. The cornerstone. I mean, there were some, you know, some other shows, but it seems like this was the one that didn't come from William Street that really broke out.
What do you call that stone at the top of an arch? That holds all the other
stones keystone?
In place. The keystone.
Yeah.
Keystone with the network.
The keystone.
Like the St. Louis arch, yeah. Which you didn't like.
I thought that was cool.
But you wouldn't have ever stopped there.
I would never have stopped there.
Well, congratulations on all these episodes and your tremendous success and on being the keystone of Adult Swim.
Thank you much.
And that goes to you guys who are in the room every day.
It's been a pleasure so far.
Doug Goldstein, Mike Fasolo. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Visit AdultSwim.com/podcast for links to some of the things Doug and Mike were just talking about. As always, we'd love to hear from you. AdultSwimPodcast@gmail.com. Thanks to Dave Bonowitz and Christina Loringer for editing and producing these podcasts. Thanks also to Maggie Cannon for arranging everything. And thank you for listening.